Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Good morning, my friend, and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio today. Back in the days of the circuit rider preachers, a minister was out riding one afternoon, and the story goes that he came upon a man who was out working in his field. "Fine day, isn't it?" the minister called out. "Well, it's fine for you," the man replied. "All you have to do is ride around on that horse thinking about God all day, while here I am sweating out here in this field, and then I have to walk home afterward. I don't think it's right that you should have things so easy while I have to work so hard." "On the contrary," the minister answered, "thinking about God is one of the most difficult things you can do. And to prove it, I'll tell you what. I'll give you this horse if you can think about God and nothing else for more than a minute." "Well, you're on," said the man, and immediately he sat down right on the ground in silence. 30 seconds later, he looked up at the minister and said, "Does that include the saddle?" You know, why is it that when we try to think about spiritual things, that we can become so easily and quickly distracted? It seems like all kinds of other thoughts can come flooding into our minds in those times. There's a spiritual battle that's taking place even while we speak. The kingdom of this world is fighting against the kingdom of God, and you and I are participants in this battle. Yes, Satan wants to keep you distracted, to keep your attention off of your spiritual needs. And then, if you do think about them, make you feel like there's no hope or no point of even trying to find help that would be available to you. Today, we're going to talk about the coming of the kingdom and how we should prepare for it. I hope you'll be able to stay with us for today's broadcast.
You may ask me how I know my God is real. You may doubt the things I say or doubt the way I feel. But I know He's real today. He'll always be. for I can feel His hand in mine, and that's enough for me. I will never walk alone. He holds my hand. He will guide each step I take, and if I fall, I know He'll understand. Till the day He tells me why He loves me so. I can feel His hand in mine. That's all I need to know. Other friends that I love so may pass me by. Other friends may never see the teardrops in my eye. Other friends may never know the pain I bear. Every tear He wipes away, and every heartache shares. I will never walk alone. He holds my hand. He will guide each step I take, and if I fall, I know He'll understand. Till the day He tells me why He loves me so. I can feel His hand in mine. That's all I need to know. I can feel His hand in mine. That's all I need to know.
That was Tim Calhoun with the song, His Hand in Mine. It's a wonderful thing to walk with Jesus as our King. He understands us. He cares about us. Even now, let's talk to Him and take our request to Him in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You that You're a God that we can trust no matter what's happening in our lives, that we can cling to You and find You faithful, find You able to meet our needs. Lord, we recognize that You are truly the King. You're sovereign over all creation. And Lord, today we're a people in need of Your help, in need of Your presence, in need of Your touch. You see, different ones are listening to the broadcast even this morning that are sick. And Lord, I pray that You would be with them. Would they experience Your touch and Your healing presence with them? For those that are suffering from ongoing ailments and even emotional struggles and different things, Lord, would Your presence be with them? I pray that You would do this according to Your will. May Your kingdom be advanced and hearts be opened and changed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of the services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Compassion, the King of all kings.
Our message for today comes from Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to break in at verse number 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, we find that John the Baptist's imprisonment seemed to be the opening of Jesus' public ministry. We have little record of what Jesus was doing in his youth, just a brief mention of a visit to the temple, then seems that Scripture is almost silent for almost two decades of Jesus' life. John's ministry was a fulfillment of the prophecy recorded in the book of Isaiah. And to me, it's interesting that Jesus is baptized by John. Obviously, Jesus is not baptized as a sinner, needing to be cleansed from sin and to be raised to a new life. But Jesus had come to fulfill the ultimate sacrifice. And the high priest was initiated into his duties with a ceremonial washing and anointing. And it would seem that here the baptism of John served as that public washing and anointing of Christ. John's statement was quite true, that he truly was the one in need of baptism by Jesus. But here we see the humility of Christ, fulfilling the righteous ordinances given by God in the law. Jesus had come to fulfill the law and was completely faithful to do so. It's a powerful moment when the Spirit of God comes down on Jesus like a dove, and a voice from heaven speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, the kingdoms of men are usually filled with strife and treachery. But here we see an example of the kingdom of heaven being far superior. As a true king, Jesus proves faultless and faithful, fully completing all that he had come to do. In temptation, Jesus proved unshakable. The Gospel of Luke records that after his temptation in the wilderness, he returns to Galilee, and he's welcomed to teach in their synagogues. But when he returns to Nazareth, he meets with a different response. You see, in the Nazareth synagogue, he reads a portion from Isaiah chapter 61. And here's what the scripture he reads says. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." After reading this, Jesus returns the scroll to the attendant, sits down, and says that this scripture is being fulfilled. And the whole crowd looks at him in disbelief. They think they know who Jesus is. He's the son of Joseph the carpenter. And they're quickly so angry at him that as a mob, they push him outside and try to hustle him out and throw him off a cliff. Jesus simply walks through the crowd and goes his way. But it's clear that no longer will he be able to stay in Nazareth. And he moves to Capernaum, a small town by the Sea of Galilee. I find it quite ironic that the people of his hometown of Nazareth, who didn't believe he was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, in pushing him out of town, actually play a part in fulfilling that prophecy. They did not believe the Messiah was in their midst. But truly, the kingdom of God was at hand. The true king of all was standing before them. But unlike an earthly king who would prop themselves up and inflate their kingdom in the eyes of anyone looking on, Jesus came and proved the superiority of the kingdom of heaven before them. In a region that was under the rule of the Roman Empire, with control held by the strength of armies, God sent his own son. Verse 16 speaks of the people which sat in darkness and saw great light. It was a light that revealed their condition, their spiritual deadness, and their need for a Savior. And being almost 700 years after the prophet had recorded these words, what changes had happened in those 700 years? How much worse must their condition have been? Here in verse 16, we find that this verse represents death as a living creature that lived and ruled and triumphed over the people in this land. Jesus came to live and to grow up in a place that evil could be felt. The kingdom of God was not afraid to appear in the middle of an enemy's stronghold. When John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus continued his message to repent. And what a gracious message it was. He was the king. He was capable to utterly annihilate those who opposed his kingdom. But here Jesus came into a world that didn't recognize him, to a people who rejected him, and he appears humbly with a message of hope for sinful men. He came as a redeemer to reconcile God and man. This great light that came to Galilee brought hope to a people that was trapped in their sins. Except for John the Baptist, the teaching and preaching of the religious leaders had been woefully inadequate. But here, as the light dawns upon them, it brought a realization to the superiority of the kingdom of God to the kingdoms of men. John and Jesus both came with the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They came calling men to repent of their sins, in other words, to admit or to plead guilty to the wrongs that the men have done, and to choose to follow God, and to turn from their old lives, the old sins that they had committed, the old habits that had them bound. Repentance was and still is the necessary preparation for the kingdom of God. That recognition that I'm a sinner, and as a sinner, I'm at war with the kingdom of God. And apart from the mercy of God, the sinner deserves death. Because, again, they're at war with their Creator. They're at war with the giver of life. The Jews, though, expected the Messiah would come as a great militant warrior, freeing them from earthly authorities. But when Jesus came, he came and surrendered. He called them to change their lives and to live pure before God. Like Adam and Eve, men were still pointing their fingers at others, saying, "My problems are the fault of someone else." The message of repentance brought the realization that the problem in my life is me. I need saving from my sins and my faults first before anything can be set right in my life. And I might as well admit it to the one who can bring me hope and bring a true change in my life. Jesus came bringing hope to all men. His coming was in stark contrast to Satan's rebellion against God, for Jesus came and gave up the splendor and the glory of heaven and came to sacrifice, to suffer, and to die. That's the heart of a true king, to show his love in a real way for the people who need him the most. You know, Satan came not to sacrifice, but to get what he could grasp, not to suffer, but to make others suffer. He came not willing to die himself, but he came to bring death to all those he hated. What a contrast to Jesus, the only Son of God. So, my friend, how do you stand before God today? Have you repented of your sins and found Jesus to be your Savior? He wants to take that evil, that stronghold of Satan that's entwined in your heart, to cleanse it and make it entirely new. That kingdom of heaven is a kingdom that comes within the hearts of men and women who repent of their sins and entrust themselves to Jesus, the Savior of all men.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
of his kingdom within you.
That was the Stettler Trio with the song When His Kingdom Comes. I'm afraid that sadly there are many people today whose life is not in harmony with the kingdom of heaven. Oh, my friend, if that's your condition this morning, today is the day that you need to be reconciled with God. Our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you'd like to talk to someone about a spiritual matter, the number to call is 717-273-3690. Or you can send an email to lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be happy to help you in any way that we can and bring your need before our Lord in prayer. We found Jesus to be the true King, the hope and help of all who seek Him. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.
Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, the broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, those who were crippled, broken, ruined, now clad in garments white as snow. Trumpet sounding, and now his face I see, for the King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he is coming for me. Oh, I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see